Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the USCDI Task Force meeting. Today, the task force will continue their discussion on the promotional model criteria and levels. So let me begin by just taking a quick roll. Christina Caraballo.
Present.
Terrence O'Malley.
He's not joining us today.
Oh, okay. Tina Esposito. Valerie Gray. Ken Kawamoto. Stephen Lane.
Here.
Thank you. Leslie Leonard. Clint McDonald. Brett Oliver.
Here.
Thank you. Steve Reedy. And Mark Roach. Okay. So I'll hand it over to Christina to get us started.
Okay, great.
More on that roll.
What was that?
There were two more on the roll. I didn't hear that you called Sasha and Cheryl.
Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. Sasha Tarmont. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And Cheryl Turney. All right. Thank you.
I see Cheryl dialed in, but
okay.
She said she might be a few minutes late.
Okay.
Okay, great. So today we are going to focus on the discussion of the promotion model criteria. We're going to go through the Google Docs. So if we could go to the right on to the next slide. Just an overview, a little reminder of our task force charge is providing feedback on the USCDI promotion model, looking at the following recommendations. We have given a first round on the first bullet here, which is the promotion model lifecycle for the submitted data elements. And today we are going to be focusing on the data element submission information and promotion criteria. So if we could go ahead, actually, we're going to move right into the Google Doc. So I am going to share my screen. And, of course, I lost the – can you guys see my screen?
There it is. We got
yep.
it.
Yes.
Probably a little bigger. Zoom
okay, well – when I did that, my whole, like, UI just went wacky, and now I can't find the meeting. This is my first time sharing my screen on this, and I thought I had tested it. Sorry,
guys. You can zoom in on the Google Doc on the top left where it says 100% if you click the drop-down on the top left.
And the menu.
Yeah. My thing. Is that good, guys?
That's nice.
Okay, perfect. So I cannot see the chat right now or hand raising. So we've got a small group today, so feel free to just jump in until I figure out how to get that back up. But I can't see either one of them. Okay, so we've done a little bit of revisions to the Google Doc since our last meeting. And did some restructuring. Just in general, we've added an introduction with a section on general discussion and overarching themes. Terry and I figured this would be a good place to add any key thoughts or things that carry over to other areas in the promotion model, and then also anything that doesn't have a natural place. So any pressing thoughts or areas of discussion, feel free to dump them in here. This doesn't necessarily need to change into a paragraph or text. It's kind of a way to capture anything that doesn't have a place within the document. So then as we go in, what we've done is for each of the five sections, I'll just use this first one as an example. We've broken it into a grid And in the left column, you will see the area of the USCDI that we are looking at with text from the actual draft. So please do not change any of this text. It's not meant to be edited, but we have any proposed changes to language in red throughout. And then in the right-hand column are our task force recommendations and discussion. So again, that is for all five areas in the promotion model. So after each of the grid in the sections, there's an area for just general discussion and any additional thoughts that folks may have. Please feel free to use that as we're living in the Google document. So I'm going to move us right along. We've kind of taken a first round of the promotion model guidelines and the promotion model lifecycle for submitted data elements. That said, we do think we will revisit these sections as they will probably grow and change as we kind of hash out our recommendations for the remainder of the section. So again, we'll revisit that. For today's call, we're going to focus on the section 3 and section 4 within the Google Doc. All comments to date have been just included in the right-hand column unless people went in within the last day or two, but continue to put those in as suggesting form. So before we dive in, does anybody have any questions? Okay. So we're kind of thinking that we don't have to be as prescriptive on topics, but can kind of jump around in this document as needed. We kind of have the luxury of having a really consolidated 4 pages of text to work through, so it enables us to kind of jump around a little bit. But with that, I guess let's go ahead and dive into the section with the data element submission information. I see Stephen's in there making a suggestion already. let's see. We've got the following fields would be needed to address the data element submission to be considered for level classification. Submitter contact information would be collected separately. And we have 6 items under here with comments. We have some just general comments that the task force has put in. I'll give folks a chance to read here.
Is there, and this is just for my mental model, is there like an example that we would use of a current USCDI item just so we know? So like the data element proposed name, is this an element or a class?
So it can come in at basic form, if my understanding, as a data element, or you can propose a data class, but the original submission could just come in as as small as a data element. And that is something, Sasha, that we might want to include within our recommendations, like if it comes in as a class versus just a single element, what's the process and is it different?
Okay. So if I just think of this in my head, someone might be suggesting housing insecurity as a data element, which might fall into a data class of social determinants, but they might specifically be focused on housing insecurity with this submission. Is that like just a fair analogy so I can kind of think this through?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, thank you.
So moving in, we've got the data element proposed name and description. Even less comments here. I might actually, and I was struggling with kind of the best place to start. I might actually move us into the promotion criteria. Unless we had some thoughts on the submission information.
The only thought I had was that in the standards question, we might want to specifically suggest looking at the ISA.
Yeah, where are you, Sasha?
It's below, I believe. Four.
Okay.
So I guess in particular, if there were standards identified for this data element in the interoperability standards advisory, that would be especially pertinent. So even if there are standards outside of that, it would be very helpful to collect.
Yeah. Good point. We've actually had some references, like how will this fit into or work with ISA and what's pointed. Where it is pointed to in ISA, and how does USCDI interact with ISA? I think those are a couple questions that have come up. And it's my understanding that USCDI will have a home in ISA.
And then in three, I think we're particularly interested in structured capture of this data element. I don't know if we want to call that out or if there's like a sub question that would encourage the submitter to elaborate, but many things, almost anything, could be captured in, say, a free text note. But I think for submitting a new data element that we would identify specifically in USCDI, we're really interested in structured capture. Is that the sense of the rest of the group?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Trying to get out of mold. I don't know what happened to my... I'm going to give up on this. My whole, all my settings got messed up when I decided to share my screen. Okay. Any other thoughts on this? Let's see. We've got, I think it's a little more, this section's somewhat straightforward. So on Sasha's point, it looks like with the data class versus data element, are there any other thoughts on the proposed name and description? Because it seems like it would, that idea would live under here. Do we think we should recommend that someone can submit a data class or a data element? And then if it's a data class, put a list of data elements underneath?
I think it would be reasonable to accept either. I also think that some submitters might not even know if their idea or concept is appropriately an element or a class. And in fact, I would say across industry, there's a fair amount of things that are just sort of disputed as to whether they are an element or a class or which class a particular element would appropriately belong into. So it would, from my perspective, I think it would be helpful to be able to collect whether someone was proposing, I think we need a whole nother class of data elements to express, you know, patient preferences, and then individual elements for communication preference and language preference and, I don't know, provider gender preference and so forth, versus just I want to suggest housing insecurity as a specific data element, and the data class of social determinants may already exist, and I could say it belongs there, or it could be there is no appropriate data class for this. Yes, we also need to create a data class. It should be social determinants, or it might be, I don't know what the data class would be. That's part of the work that has to happen in promoting this.
Yeah,
I agree with everything you just said, Sasha.
Yeah.
The other thing that people might want to propose is, and I think this that might be in here elsewhere, is individual items that would satisfy a data element. You know, a list, for example, of things that should be included. That might be proposed as well. Responses.
What do you mean by a list, Stephen? I missed that comment.
I mean, like Sasha was talking about, you know, housing, you know, and so housing, it's not, I assume we don't just want a free text field that says housing, you know, that we want some categorization, you know, that there's some category list, if you will, that goes with this data element that's being proposed.
I would guess, Stephen, that if there's a standard, that would provide the category list. So there would be,
sure,
you know, for education, the category list is actually a specific LOINC grouping of educational levels. But if that does not exist and there are details of that, that would also be very helpful to capture.
Right. That was my point, that somebody might come out of left field with something new that hasn't been done and they want to propose it, and this is where they bring it.
Yeah, then it definitely, getting as much information as possible about a submitted thing seems like it will be advantageous.
Left-handed, right-handed, ambidextrous, don't know. I mean, right?
I think that'll also be important if there's a data class that's already been proposed where they could be two of, like, just different names, but the same thing, and being able to cross-reference things that have been submitted.
You know, the other thing that's sort of come up in our discussions, and I don't know if we've captured it anywhere, is, you know, it seems like there are some data elements that we really want to be required in USCDI. And there are some data elements that we want to say, and we've said this before, if you capture it, send it. And I don't know if ONC has really embraced that differentiation yet, you know, that USCDI may really be all about you must capture it and send it. But you know, a lot of the whether or not you capture it has to do with what your, you know, what your business is and what your workflow is, you know, and so I'm personally still confused about this notion. You know, when CMS said that payers have to exchange USCDI, I mean, does that mean that payers have to collect USCDI? I mean, there's a lot of clinical stuff in there that I don't think the payers really necessarily have a need for. So somewhere in here we have to differentiate, is this a thou shalt collect and exchange, or if you have it, you have to exchange it. Am I making sense?
I think that's really important, Stephen. I think Terry had explained it well to me previously that none of this was about sort of that level of detail. But it's very important, I think, from my perspective, because if this is incorporated into certification, there are important differentiators where if you're barcoding an implant, it makes sense to be able to barcode it in a surgical suite, but you might want to be able to look at the barcode information in an ambulatory clinic, but you're not likely to be barcoding it in that setting. And
right.
So those types of differentiations of where is it likely to be captured and how, and where do you need to view it, but you're not necessarily going to capture it, I think are going to grow in significance as we add to USCDI and incorporate more data that might have more limited capture. Just as an example, if we added claims data to USCDI that is captured in produced in certain places and used in others, and I don't think the implication would be in including it in USCDI that it should be produced in places where it's not currently, more just that it should be exchanged when it's had. And so
right.
I do think that we should all be clear within ourselves, what does it mean to include something in USCDI? And also, I think, with others about those pieces, it's certainly very different to say exchange if you have it versus a mandate to capture, and those would need to be evaluated very differently.
I'm glad I brought it up because I was confused by it.
Okay. I captured that in our general discussions, but feel free to go in and add. Okay, let's see, where are we? Any other thoughts on these areas with the systems that currently capture the data, existing standards, Connect-a-thon pilot, testing? It seems pretty straightforward, it's capturing information. Okay. Let's go ahead, we can come back to this, but let's move into the promotion criteria. Okay. We've got a lot of comments here so far. Level one, to be formally entered into the USCDI promotion process at level one, a data element must have a complete data element submission and meet the following requirements. Identify at least one developed use case, including the relevance to nationwide exchange. Identify at least one published content standard or implementation guide with which it can be used and demonstrate that it has been tested for exchange. So a couple things that we actually have a good list of discussion right now. The first, we have defined what a developed use cases would be. I'm going to pause and talk about that a little bit.
You know, I've got an example that I've been involved with over the last year or two here in California, which is the data element date of diagnosis. And this came up locally in some work I did with the public health department where they're trying to be able to capture incidence and prevalence data on reported cases of Parkinson's disease. And they passed a law that said that everybody had to send in date of diagnosis for their Parkinson's diagnoses, but I had to explain to them that wasn't a thing, that we don't capture date of diagnosis in EHRs. And I told them I'd love to help them make that happen for the good of public health, you know. But they understood that finally, but that's sort of my little pet example of something that I'm going to try to push through USCDI someday if I live long enough. So, but it's interesting because as I think about that, this is a really high bar, you know, to have a published content standard or implementation guide and to demonstrate that it had been tested for exchange. I mean, wow. I mean, Sasha, you can just imagine what that would involve, you know, just for little old date of diagnosis, right? So I'm struck as I look at this that, you know, when we did our whatever it was, seven levels last time, part of that was this notion that even people without tons of resources should be able to bring ideas forward. But this suggests that something has to be really well established even to be brought forward.
Well, this is to promote, not to bring forward, right? Or,
well, to be assigned. I mean, it's not a formally entered into the promotion process until it gets into level one, right?
Fair. The other thing, I guess, would be, I think your Parkinson's guide from the California Public Health Agency would satisfy the first two, right?
I don't know, but no, I don't know that I would think of it as a, I mean, just because they asked us to submit it, that doesn't, to me, doesn't mean a published content standard. I mean, we all know what a date is, right?
Well, they have, I think, a California Parkinson's implementation guide, which I would assume if they want that element includes it.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay. So that would be number bullet two.
So your use case would be submitting data for a case report on Parkinson's, and then they would have an implementation guide that you could reference. And then the hard part would be demonstrating that it's been tested for exchange. And
what does that mean? You know, I mean, does that mean that Epic, that I convince Epic to create a field called date of diagnosis and then send it to Parkinson's, to the state, and then they say, ah, look, okay, we've tested it. It's exchanged. So I think we need to understand what each of these things really means.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's probably a lot of complexity, too, because in some use cases, the groups use the noted date of a diagnosis for that purpose. And so then there's ambiguity because a particular implementation might have inconsistent usage, which means that in some places the noted date is reliably indicating a date.
Yeah, well, yeah, we talked through all that. I mean, that was the whole reason why we decided we needed a field, because using the noted date isn't the same thing, I can just tell you as a clinician.
So I think that's a tricky one.
But I think the point for this exercise is we need the clarity around each of these three sub-bullets, or these three bullets. And I think you capture that in the text pretty well.
Okay.
So this is Brett, we're not commenting on whether or not the data that's proposed to be exchanged has validity. I'm still stuck, Stephen, on your example of date of diagnosis of Parkinson's. I mean, I wish it was that clear. That's crazy. And so somebody who doesn't realize it from a clinical standpoint, that's a really soft term and it's going to base financial legislative decisions on that. Do we have comment there, or we're just there to see if it's exchangeable?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more the latter. But, yeah, I mean, just again, to worry that, you know, that my specific example, you know, we got into the difference between date of onset and date of diagnosis and date, you know, and date noted, you know, in a given EHR system, right? I mean, date of onset is super fuzzy. Date of diagnosis, I mean, at some date, somebody made a diagnosis, right? I mean, if you're the system wherein that diagnosis was made, you can point to it. Well, on this date, you know, this Tuesday visit in neurology, they decided this person had Parkinson's disease, right? But if the patient comes to you and you say, well, when were you diagnosed? I don't know, 3 years ago. And, you know, so, and when did your symptoms start? Oh, I don't know, 4 years ago. So, yeah, you're right. These things get fuzzy. But that's not what this is about, right? This is about public health needs date of diagnosis to do certain things, and we should give them a field for it.
But I guess what I'm saying, yeah, to your point, if there's who makes the determination? Like, we're going to go through all this rigmarole to get them this field that they think they need, but they don't understand the inaccuracy of that. Where does that happen? Because I'm not blaming them for wanting it. I'm not blaming them for not understanding clinically how that happens. Because we can get into a lot of data elements that were like, why are we exchanging this? That's not valid for what their use case was. Or am I just repeating what you were saying?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. And I'm sure that will come up. You know, it's inevitable that as things get suggested or promoted through USCDI, that there will be people saying that's not a good idea, and these are all the reasons. I don't think now is the time for us to think about that.
Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure the process was in place that we didn't get way to, you know, proving testing before we determine that it's even something worthy of exchange.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. Thanks.
So why don't we've got a lot of questions in here. Why don't we formulate some recommendations and some thoughts around it? So if we look at the first bullet, identify at least one developed use case, including its relevance. We're asking to define the developed use case. What would we recommend that definition look like? So I think, like, for each of these bullets, let's go through, and we've asked the questions. Now let's try to answer our questions within, like, a recommended format and see if we can start working through this.
Well, what do we think that ONC meant by developed? Does that mean published? Does that mean... What does that mean?
And we have some ONC team on the phone. If you guys, Al or Adam, have any clarity around this.
Yeah, by developed, we just meant something that... We didn't define a specific definition, obviously, of developed, but something that is, you know, well thought through, you know, could include, you know, an example use within that use case, could include, I don't know, references to published materials or academic studies, you know, something that's more than like a paragraph, you know, something that is just indicative of having been thought through in a practical sense.
So I wonder if it would be helpful to say, you know, in whatever, you know, we end up publishing, like a list of examples of what might be considered developed use cases. You know, in my Parkinson's example, it's actually legislation, you know, that was passed. That would seem to be a pretty developed use case. Somebody wrote a law that said we needed this.
Yeah, this is Al. I mean, even something like possibly adding language that you're making a recommendation that says, you know, provide a specific example or a reason why this data is important. I think that's what Adam is getting to, and I think sometimes we get wrapped up in the language of use case, but it really is, it answers the why question.
And I think to Brett's point, not only why is it important, but why would this data be valuable, and reliable and meaningful?
Yeah, your example, Stephen, really got me thinking here. I mean, because you could bring forward, you were talking about defined, is it published, things like that. I mean, let's say in the payer world, if they know the onset of diagnosis, that date, they can intervene in a particular problem. But again, if it's not, if that whole data element isn't, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could have published data that say, okay, well, that's important to collect, but then not understand the clinical side. And I'm sure there's examples from the payer world that I wouldn't get as well. Anyway, I had that same rabbit hole. Sorry, I'm stuck.
Sorry I did that to you.
So, any other thoughts on the use case or more clarity around what a use case is in sample? All right. So let's move on to this, identify at least one. We added published content standard or IG. So one of our questions was, how do we level the playing field for those that the haves and the have-nots? So people that know exactly what an implementation guide is and those who have really good use cases or examples or importances but don't necessarily even know where to begin. How do we bake that into this process?
Hey, Christina. Can I just jump in real quick, again, with to just jump back to the use case real quick.
Yep.
I also note that in the data element submission information, in number two, it is stated, why should this data element be captured and available for Exchange nationwide? Provide applicable use cases with a focus on the following specific setting, for example, outpatient/ambulatory or inpatient specialty area and or federal/state/local regulatory requirement. So that can also factor into that specification of a quote-unquote developed use case.
Okay. Where was that? Adam, where were you reading from? You guys still hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
It's not Adam.
Yep.
All right. All right. So on the standards and implementation guides, do we have any other thoughts or recommendations on these? I think this was originally Ken's comment. Where can it be published as an example and as a minimum, just anywhere should be sufficient, kind of a summary. And we had like the applicable links to ISA. One thing I want to remind the group too is the when it's submitted in the first phase or initially submitted, a stakeholder can bring that in and anybody can, and they might just kind of give the list of everything they know. And then my assumption would be that ONC would look at that and kind of validate and potentially add. And maybe that's where we can start addressing the haves and have nots in bullet three here, is to have a process in place where between submission and getting to level one, ONC does an evaluation and kind of does that cross-reference to ISA, looks at what implementation guides exist, looks at like what other data classes or data elements have been submitted where the new submission might fall. I don't know if anybody has any thoughts on that. It's a quiet group today.
Christina, I had a chance to chat with Steve yesterday about, you know, this idea that that there needs to be a process of some sort, sort of a, what's the right word, to create equal opportunity for data classes and elements that may not have a powerful or vocal constituency. And he agreed that that was a good idea.
So any specific things we should capture in these recommendations, or just conceptually creating that?
We were talking the other day with Terry about, you know, the idea of a committee that, you know, whose job it would be to, you know, kind of promote equal opportunity for folks who needed it.
Yeah, that's
affirmative action. That's the word I've been trying to think of in my head. Affirmative action for data elements.
Yeah, that's actually a good thing to bring up here. I dumped that into the high-tech process, but it makes sense to look at here. So for the rest of the group, during our planning call, we were talking about ONC having being a convening authority to potentially set up a US CDI advisory committee to form on health data priorities. And then the US CDI advisory committee, which would have industry thought leaders and experts, and it would include stakeholders that, like, from public health and different groups, would then provide recommendations potentially to the HITECH, because part of this process is that the HITECH has an annual review within the draft of this to look at the data elements. So that's kind of a synopsis of what Steve was referencing and saying maybe that kind of lives up here. What was it? What did we call it? Any thoughts on that concept?
But it's really, we should probably spell it out a little more. It's like a standing US CDI oversight committee or something like that. You know, separate from the task force, this task force, which, you know, may or may not exist at any given time, separate from the HITECH's review, but kind of like a standing body, as you say, with broad representation.
Yeah, these are just my chicken scratch notes, I agree. okay. So I think that's something that we can definitely think about more and get some language around. Any other thoughts on that? Do other folks like that idea? Dislike that idea?
I like the idea.
Thanks, Brett. Okay. So, this will move us along. And again, any of these areas we can come back to. So, the demonstration that the data element data element has been tested for exchange. Got a couple questions here. What qualifies for this? Taking data from EHR and making it, making good use of it, taking data from the EHR, I repeated myself, we got an example. So go ahead and open it up for discussion on this for a level one classification. Kind of like, is it tested in the real world versus didn't.
Well, I mean, back to my sort of my maybe imperfect example of the date of diagnosis, you know, what would qualify as testing for exchange of date of diagnosis? I mean, if I just sort of found some funky, you know, custom date field and I installed it in my EHR and, you know, and then I somehow figured out how to send that field as a message or in a document or as a fire resource, you know, from my system to a receiving system, does that qualify as testing? You know, does it just mean, you were able to get it from system A to system B, you know, is that enough? You know, or are we talking about something much more formal, Connectathon, HL7, et cetera?
Okay.
I'm curious from the ONC folks, what are your thoughts on this? What did you envision, you know, with this? This notion
well,
that has been tested.
Yeah, so we did not specify a certain level there, as is currently stated in that submission. Those submission criteria questions, you know, do systems really capture this data element? Do standards exist to represent exchange data element? Please describe any connectathon testing pilots or production use of the data element. You know, what we were really thinking for level one is that would be kind of a relatively low standard of technical development. It's kind of like, has there been enough development around this to do some testing type work around this? And level two represents a higher level of technical advancement. You know, no, we did not provide, you know, we didn't define a specific baseline other than is technical exchange work doable, testable around the proposed data element. And we seek the task force's feedback on what that level should be.
And this is Al. Given the combination of the, the criteria for availability of standards or implementation guides, those implementation guides have some specificity as far as how those IGs and the standards have specifications as to how that data ought to be represented, and the testing, I think, ought to, you know, generally conform to what those available standards are. I mean, I think the proposal says there's an available standard and the testing doesn't test that standard, I think that's something that would be taken into consideration for placing it in level one or not.
Thanks, Al. Any other thoughts on level one? Any other questions that we have? Okay. So should we go ahead and move on to a look at level two? All right, to be eligible to be assigned or promoted to level two, a data element must complete data element submission, meet the level one requirements, and demonstrate that it has achieved sufficient technical development to be tested at scale. Got two bullets on this. The first is to have a definition for the data element, including technical representation, structured or unstructured, in at least one published content standard, if applicable, vocabulary or value set binding, and has been tested successfully in at least two independent systems. I think this is kind of the same as the last one, where we've got a lot of questions on the side of what defines these bullets. So we can go ahead and go right into that and open it. I'll open it for discussion. So any thoughts on what is meant by testing at scale, or how we would define this, or recommend defining it?
Well, testing at scale seems sort of different to me than being tested in at least two independent systems. Because one of the challenges in the quality measurement world is that quality measures are often tested in one practice or one hospital. And that's important. It's an important part of the process. But for any number of reasons, one particular hospital or one particular practice is not representative of the entire country. And so documentation that might be routinely captured in a clinic that really focuses on a particular condition might not be routinely captured in clinics of other specialties using other health IT systems or simply focusing on other conditions. And so I think that type of testing is important, but it's not necessarily, again, means it ready for all settings. It's ready for at least some settings. And so I guess I would take out the at scale if what we really mean is at least two independent systems have tested it, or if what we really mean is that we're testing it at scale and we're thinking about rolling it out to the entire country, then we should be testing in, you know, some portion of settings that are representative. If it's going to be used in all clinics across the country, then maybe it should be tested in, you know, at least 5% of the clinics to be ready for at scale deployment.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So those are, Sasha brings up two very different approaches and kind of goals. So I think that is something we should discuss. The goal of the USCDI is to be used nationwide, right? So my default would be at scale, but then going back kind of what you said, what was discussed earlier, it's like what stakeholders and who's the person that generates the data and who's the person receiving it. And I think this is a really important discussion that I don't have all the answers to.
Right. I mean, if we take Stephen's earlier example, if California requires capture of certain information about Parkinson's by law, then a pilot which tests a Parkinson's-related data element in California will say, oh, well, this is widely adopted. Everyone is capturing it. It's exchanged today. It's ready for a nationwide requirement in USCDI. But a pilot that tested that in, I don't know, Wisconsin or another state might not find the same thing because there was the condition of the California law that changed data capture and exchange practices in that locale. So if the idea is to actually deploy nationwide, it seems like we need a scale representation that's also varied in terms of the settings that would do it. So more than two, it would have to be settings that represent different specialties, different care settings, different geographic locations, and so forth.
Any other thoughts on this area? Or solutions?
This notion of political maturity, that seems a little fraught. What are we trying to say there?
I would have to look at the reference edition on this.
I think that was a Terry idea.
Yeah, that sounds like a Terry comment.
I think it revolves around a certain amount of buy-in from multiple stakeholders or something along those lines.
Yeah, okay.
The haves and the have-nots, and how do we push it through if it's a high impact person, stakeholders?
Yeah. Sort of what I was getting at in my reference to the popular kids, you know.
Yes. Okay.
You got a little typo there. It says, is this meet? It should say, is this met, I think.
Where are you?
The sub-bullet one there. I think it's just a little typo. I can fix it.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks, editor-in-chief. All right.
Anonymous ferret. That's what I am.
That's funny. I can't even see that. Like this, I can't get to my top screen, my navigation. I'm a mess. Okay. So should we move on and get initial reactions from the group on the USCDI? Here, you guys don't want me to read this whole thing to you. So we've got, in summary, to be eligible for USCDI, a level 2 data element must address the following two dimensions prior to the start of the public comment period cycle and be assessed by the HITAC. The first is the technical maturity, and the second is nationwide applicability. So let's see. We're moving up to the technical maturity is the 4 independent systems. I think we've got the same concept here that Sasha brings to our attention, is it with the independent systems versus scalability and who's using the data, and formal published documentation. Reading here, feel free to jump in if anybody has any thoughts. So let's see. The first comment that we have for discussion, are there any circumstances where a data element that is not at level 2 is considered for USCDI? This is something we had kind of thought about, like, is there a, for lack of better words, a fast track data element or data class that the industry has decided needs to move through more quickly And is there a way to target or star it? Are there any thoughts from folks on that?
I thought that we'd heard pretty clearly that things needed to go through this maturity, these levels, before they got to USCDI. I mean, it seems like all the things that were sort of pushing in de novo are going in version one, and that everything else is going to need to go through this vetting process. So I have a, you know, given the discussions we've had, I have a hard time imagining that an element would go into USCDI without going through level two. But you can certainly imagine that, you know, there might be a data class that's established and has a set of data elements, and then something happens in science or industry or government, and suddenly there's a new element. That, like, just everybody knows this class has a new element. And you would want to get it added to USCDI as quickly as possible, and you wouldn't want it to have to spend a cycle in one or a cycle and or a cycle in two before you added it. So I guess maybe that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, just taking note to myself. I hear you with it needing to go through the process, and it made me think, like, is there still a way to kind of tag and alert industry? Because the idea is for transparency that we think something might move along more quickly, and that still means it's going to go through level one and then progress to level two. You can kind of see it going through more quickly and then get to USCDI. I forget what the proposed timelines were in each of the levels, but we've kind of discussed what in our first or last call what those timelines look like. And are the timelines different depending on different factors in a data class / data element?
A circumstance like that, you know, could be an area where the USCDI Advisory Council or the HITAC or something like that has a special role.
This is Al. The idea that I mentioned this or we talked about it last time I was on the call, that something might, if it met the criteria for USCDI, be able to skip from one to USCDI. Was that the question?
Yeah.
Or just in general, bypass the levels? Because I think that if that's the specific recommendation, if that is a specific recommendation of the task force to, you know, consider skipping a level if it already clearly met the criteria for that next level, with the exception of directly to USCDI, that I think that we've been clear that we want to like Stephen said, go through the process, but if something gets in there and then it's you know, it's clearly established, maybe not all of the documentation was in place, but it's clearly established quickly that it meets the criteria for USCDI. You know, the recommendation could be to consider directly going to USCDI rather than taking another year through step two, through level two.
Thanks, Al. Any thoughts on that? I do like the idea of the evaluation on the advisory committee. So Al, in that I heard, let me just make sure I heard you correctly, even if something were kind of to go through the process more quickly, would it still touch each stage, or would you say it could go from one, it could bypass a stage? Like, do we think it's important, as Stephen just said, that it lives in each stage for at least a touch point? And how long is that? And I guess, is that important for industry transparency as well?
I mean, so the way that we have it written is it can come directly into one or directly into two, but has to go from two to USCDI.
Okay.
And so that's the way that it's written. And so if there was a suggestion that, and this is kind of goes back to the, would there be consideration for fast track? You know, would there be consider that if the recommendation could be to reconsidering the piece of it has to be in two before it goes to USCDI. If it meets the criteria to go to USCDI from one. If it comes in, if it starts off and it's considered and it's assigned to level one, but then everything is in place within the next cycle for it to be considered and it meets the criteria for USCDI, could it bypass that step that's currently written in there that says it has to go from two to USCDI? Because we're looking for your recommendations as, you know, if this is, you know, as it should be. So that would be, I would suggest that's a way to phrase this, you know, consider something that would allow things to be fast-tracked.
Yeah.
Did that answer the question? I'm sorry if it didn't.
No, it does. And I, as much as I want all the data, I do think that moving things quickly through but still coming into level two is probably important. So a fast track or ushering something through to get to level two, but then going through the process at level two kind of makes sense because that's when you're going to have the review, the more thorough review by ONC, the HITECH, and others. Do you remember if there's a set date for or a set time period for being in level two? I don't think so.
Well, the cycle is going to be annual.
Yeah.
And then there's a consideration period that's part of that year.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this? A comment? Sasha, putting you on the spot, I'm assuming that having something paused for that, no matter how quickly the industry wants it, at that level two for the year cycle would make the most sense. Just for overall industry buy-in.
Well, yes, I do think, you know, it will be important to have insight into the direction that's coming. I do worry that it might still be hard to make technical investments based on something that is at this level of the promotion status. For example, I guess, just to give some sense of why I'm hesitant and why I suspect other health IT developers would be hesitant also. Some health IT developers have previously tried to make investments based on a proposed rule, for example. And that has not always been a gamble that turns out to be a good investment because sometimes things that are in a proposed rule change significantly or are you know, the standard that's referenced has changed. Certain requirements are removed or modified or deferred or added. in ways that mean that making that preliminary investment may not have been a good use of time. And so certainly time is one thing that is important for adopting a standard across the industry in a consistent way that's effective. Another element, though, that's going to be important is a degree of certainty. And so we'll want for adding it to a project list and say this is a good investment for all health IT developers to make, they will want both sufficient time, and this time and status might be important to that, but they'll also want a degree of certainty about what it is that they're doing. Do they have enough information to program it into their software in terms of a standard that has consensus and that is not dramatically in flux, and a degree of prioritization that's important. If there are 500 things in this level and only 5 of them are going to be promoted next year, it's not going to be a good investment to invest in all 500 at this point. If there are 5 things and they're all going to be promoted next year, then it's a nice head start. And I don't know that I understand yet sort of how useful this sort of staging will be for development investment. And maybe that's partly since we're still figuring it out, but partly I guess I'm still trying to know, would there be enough knowledge and certainty of what you would go program at this point in time that it would even be useful?
That's an excellent point. I didn't really capture that, but I understand my notes. thanks, Sasha.
Well, and again, Sasha, I think that I'm not sure that it would make sense for a developer to be programming things long before they got to USCDI. If we scroll up to the graphic that ONC gave us, they're suggesting there are hundreds of things in the comment phase, less than 100 in level 1, tens in level 2, and then, smaller numbers going in to USCDI, each time we actually do a cycle of it. Maybe developers, when things got to level 2, would want to start to play with them and see if there are any gotchas, but do that to then be able to provide feedback to the process. But it seems like, when you're down in the hundreds, there certainly would be no need for that. But again, as we've discussed, it seems like, promoting something to USCDI, there will inevitably be still a waiting period, or there will be a period of time before it becomes required by regulation. That USCDI is meant to be a leading indicator. Once something gets to USCDI, then all the developers should start working on it because they want to be able to say, we're doing the right thing, and now we support USCDI version 4, but the regs will only be requiring USCDI version 2 for probably some period of time. So again, it doesn't seem like development is going to happen when things are down in level 1, or certainly as comments, that you might play around in level 2, but it really wouldn't be until things got to USCDI that people would say, okay, I got to go develop that now.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Perhaps the earlier stages won't play a significant role in development prioritization, and the time that's spent in them would have less impact that way, as long as sufficient time is available once it gets into the USCDI stage for the development to happen at that point.
Okay. I'm kind of delete this last comment. I'll go back in after our meeting. Sasha, are you ready? I'm sorry. Christina, are you ready for public comment? It's 3:50. Sounds good. Great. Operator, can you open the line for public comment?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
And do we have any comments in the queue?
There are no comments at this time.
Thank you. Christina. Okay. So, yeah. Where were we? I lost where I was in the Google document. Sorry, guys. There we go. Okay. Reading some of these other bullets and seeing what a good area would be discussed, but anybody feel free to jump in. If we can just go to the next one, for the technical maturity, there is a suggestion or a question to add a sub-bullet or another category for an assessment of how an element may replace or alter existing US CDI elements. Is there this addressed somewhere in the promotion model? And then is it important to call the need to ensure a level of relevancy of anything already at level three? I do not believe this is at anywhere in the promotion model, but others or ONC, feel free to chime in.
Nope, that's not correct. That's correct. It is not addressed.
Okay. So we talked about this a little bit, and I think it is a good recommendation. Are there any other thoughts here? And if people agree, we can turn it into text and, as opposed to a question. I think I'll do. Okay, so let's see. Next, yep, change in text. I'm gonna make sure we're including a broad range of stakeholders. I think we'll make sure that's incorporated throughout our recommendations. There are multiple comments from task force members in agreement that it's important to include the impact of quality of care, cost of care to health systems, as well as to the individuals. So some changes. I think this is all stuff that can be incorporated into a draft of our recommendations because there was a lot of thumbs up in the original Google Doc version. Are there any more comments on this area? Okay. So we've gone through an initial round of the two sections that we wanted to go through today. Adam and Al, should we just go ahead and let people have 5 minutes back?
Or yeah, I think
that'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Or if we want, we can start talking about, I mean, the next thing to think about is on the high-tech role in the promotion model, or promotion process. So people could start thinking about the new advisory committee, USCDI advisory committee that we talked about, and high tech role. That will be what we discuss in 2 weeks. Great. So I will hand it back to the ONC team.
Operator, can you check one more time to see if there's any comments in the public, from the public? Oh, there are no comments. They just wrote about it. Okay, we are done then for the afternoon.
Thanks, everyone.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.